W. Sherlock, another Franklin Matters radio show, number 303 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my weekly Talk Franklin conversation with our town administrator, Jamie Helen, and marketing communications specialist, Anne Marie Tracy. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. During our conversation, we talk about the reopening. Part 2, Phase 2 was just announced by Governor Baker today. Board of Health numbers for Franklin. There's only 4 active cases at this point. The FY 2021 budget recap and a town council meeting next week, June 24th, to handle some technical and procedural closeouts for the FY 2020 budget. We talk about the spotlight on technology and how technology really has been driving the town operation during the pandemic. And we get into our cultural closing where Jamie touts the NPR streaming of the 9:30 Club concerts. The show notes include links to the FY 2021 budget info, the 9:30 Concert Club queue on NPR.org, as well as the link to Jamie and I's conversation in the pregame that we recorded live on the field before the budget hearing on Wednesday, June 17. Our conversation runs approximately 49 minutes, so let's listen to my Talk Franklin session for June 19, 2020.
This is Steve Sherlock for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM, 102.9 on the local area Franklin dial, and another session of Talk Franklin with our town administrator, Jamie Helen, marketing communications specialist Anne Marie Tracy. Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to another Friday.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Long time no see.
Yes, long time, long time. It's almost what, within 12 hours? And that's because I think folks who should have been aware, there was the town council budget hearings the last two nights out in the open. And Jamie and I also had a special reel live recording session. It was broadcast, and if you missed the broadcast, it's now available on demand on the Franklin Matters website. But aside from that, reopening part two, because that now we've getting the good health numbers, we're doing what we need to do, social distancing, masks, etc. We're getting some advances on a number of fronts, certainly from Governor Baker's, and I know you got some other Franklin specific news to talk about in this section.
Yeah, I think we were just talking about it off air here, but it looks like the governor's phasing in part two of phase two. There's nothing more than people in Massachusetts love than these easily organized phases, right? Clearly understand where we're at. But the good news is, I think it shows that the data has obviously moved in that direction, and we'll talk about a few things later on, I'm sure, but. The restaurants in town, we've been continually approving more outdoor permits. It appears, I'm not getting ahead of myself, but it appears that Teddy Gallagher's is going to be able to receive a permit in the next few days to use the alleyway. And to put 4 tables out with 6 chairs apiece. And that's really good news for downtown Franklin and everybody in Franklin. And I think we talked about it last week, Steve, right? It's going to take a little muscle memory and a little practice here for everybody to get moving. It's really like, starting the trains again and getting them chugging along. And I think even for myself, speaking for myself personally, I think, it really does. You go out to a restaurant, you go out to wherever, you do what you do for the first time again. You haven't realized that you haven't done it. Something like this for 4 months, right? And it almost like you steeped into the new normal, and now we have to creep back out of it. The good news is that I think while we're never going to be 100% safe until there's a vaccine or a remedy, the data shows that we're doing all the right things, and as a state and as a community, to be able to get to this place where we're at part two, which is going to allow restaurants to open indoors and allow office spaces in those big office parks to increase. And I think the important and salient point is, the good news is we're going to get back to it, right? The bad news is that we really need to be diligent when we do return. You know, and I think that that's the message that will hopefully most citizens, if not all, will really take to heart and think about what they're doing, and think most importantly that this isn't just about them. It's about the other people around them. And as long as people, I think as long as people do that and they do the best they can to wear face coverings, wash hands, be hygienic, straddle your work schedule, sometimes maybe be at home, put yourself in less contact with other people, and then maybe sometimes you'll be at the office. And I think conceptually almost spend the month of June and July kind of reacclimating to where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll let Anne-Marie give the great news that we heard today from the Board of Health Director on Franklin specific, you know, statistics, because it's really good news.
Oh, it definitely is. Obviously, we've been doing, you know, as Jamie has said many times over, you know, all the work that we've been doing and all the care that everyone has been taking is serving Franklin well. And the latest numbers in Franklin, we have a total of 131 positive cases, with 127 of them being closed or recovered, and only 4 active cases, which in a town of 35,000 people is really just remarkable. And I think it speaks on so many levels to just how our community has stepped up and really followed the advice and taking care of one another, and we've earned our step two, phase two, step two.
And in order to get to the phase three, we have to keep doing. We can't let up. We've got to keep doing all that good stuff. I think one of the other key pieces from the governor's announcement earlier today, which people will catch up as the news continues to spread, the testing for the, if you will, the protest demonstration folks, there were 16,000 tests conducted over a couple of days. And those results will be available in a couple of days. So we'll be able to see how well people really reacted and behaved appropriately during those, you know, times. And that should also be a good indication, given everything else that's going around us in the rest of the states. Let's make sure we continue to keep the foot on the pedal where we need to.
It's a really good point. I mean, I think that, you know, I think you heard the day after, 2 days after, people who, you know, didn't necessarily like the rallies were kind of calling people out, and there was this back and forth dialogue, and on the flip side, there were a lot of other people who were, you know, maybe going a little overboard and calling other people out who weren't doing things. And
right.
I think that you're right, Steve. I mean, after all those protests, particularly in those dense areas that were really, you know, almost most communities in Massachusetts, Eastern Massachusetts, have had something relative to that. And I think that that's a really, really good point of a good indication of what the asymptomatic transmission, which is obviously everybody's biggest concern,
mm-hmm.
you know, how did that go? You know, even last night at the budget recaps and the budget hearings, you know, I mean, I thought everybody in did an amazing job. People are doing, again, the best they can. I mean, sometimes when you're on a field and it's 85 degrees and the sun's beating on you, you really do kind of struggle to breathe a little bit. You got to take it off and you got to catch up a little. And depending on your own personal health, you know, that can be different things for different people. With one notable exception, I think everybody – you know, the public and the staff did a really good job. And you know, I think at the hearings, you know, it's funny, we're on the department heads meeting right before this, Steve, Anne-Marie and I, and, you know, everybody's feedback last night and this morning was really like, it was just really good to see everyone in person.
It was.
And this morning, it was like the department head Zoom call or whatever we were on, or hangout rather, you know, it's still fine. We've been doing it. Everybody's been really happy to stay in touch and hear what everybody else is doing, ask questions. That's what it should be. But I think last night was even a marker for the department heads to say, hey, you know, we all like working with each other and here we all are. And it was just good to see Felicia and Kim and Karen and Aaron and you know, TJ and Chief McLaughlin and just Brutus and, you know, all the staff, Karen, and just, you know, I could go on and on, but it was good to see.
I couldn't agree more.
The one or two you leave out, somebody will catch that.
Right? I'd have to sit here and name all 30,
I know,
right?
I mean, it would take a long
time. It was good
time.
To see Miriam. You know, it was good to see Paul Morano. It was just good to see Lucas. You know,
yes.
Like yeah. Lucas, I was like, whoa, Lucas, you know, like 4 months, you know, you look the same.
You know? I totally agree with you, Jamie. Even as much as this is working, you know, and we're doing the job and we're still getting everything done and we're doing the Zoom calls and the Google Meets and all of this is working, we all miss each other. You know, I think it speaks to just the great climate that we have working in the municipal building and throughout all the town departments, and how much we really not only love our jobs, but also really like each other. And it was very nice to see everyone and just say hello to an actual face.
I mean, I had seen the council once for the executive session. Excuse me, but it was also, you know, it was great to see, you know, Matt and Glenn and, you know, everybody, mm-hmm. Mel and in person. And,
right.
I maybe have seen the chairman maybe one other time in the last couple months. I mean, right. it 3 months. I mean, it's not like
Mark.
Mark, absolutely.
Mark. You know, yeah.
Chrissy, Alicia. I see Alicia obviously often because we're holding down the fort in here. But it's just great to see people again, and you know, feel that, you know, that in a way, that feeling we've all lost as humans. You know, with not being able to see anybody or anything,
right?
Especially people that we, you know, we really. You know, enjoy being around and respect. And it's still not hard. It's still really hard not to give a Gus Brown handshake. You know, you have to stop yourself from going, "Hey, Gus," you know, and giving that, you know, that classic Gus Brown, palm shake. But, you know, we'll get there eventually, you know, and that'll
even
be back and that'll
gloves.
Feel good. And, I think that hopefully it makes us all realize and not take for granted, you know, what we have when we're together.
Yep. Yeah, I think that just reinforces that while we've talked about social distancing and the hand washing, the masks, the social part of that, especially when we come back, having done what we've done so that we can actually meet in real life again. That's just making it worthwhile.
It is. And it's funny, like these calls are so efficient, right? Like, I mean, we've heard a lot of that. I mean, I think that'll be a debate, and I think that's a good thing, right? I think there will be a lot of meetings continuing going on through Zoom for a long time or Hangout, and people will use technology more. And I think schedules will become more flexible at a per se statewide, depending on where you work.
Sure.
You know, but I also think we realize that, you know, socialization is inefficient. And I was talking to one of my best friends who's a vice president of a company out west, and he was saying, you know, they've phased in a little quicker as they've allowed in Colorado, because the CEO and the folks in the company realized that losing the interaction in their business of doing, they build outdoor gear, you know,
okay.
like EMS or REI gear.
Sure.
And the way the best ideas come to those guys and those folks is by being together and bouncing ideas off each other.
Yeah.
And you don't get that when you're here,
no.
you know, on Zoom and on Hangout.
Yeah.
And I think that's a part of who we are. And sometimes you're going to go shoot the breeze in the hallway for 15 minutes with Miriam or someone. And you know, either you now trust someone more, you
build a relationship.
Information,
absolutely.
You build a relationship, but you also get good ideas that come from it, or things that you remind yourself to ask again and follow up on.
The serendipity of, you know, you mentioning this, somebody mentions that, and then you put the two and two together. Really? Oh, there we go.
Really is, you know, and I think that goes same thing for elected officials. I think that when you see each other, it's a different feeling than when you're on a Zoom call, even if the Zoom call is more efficient, right?
Right. Efficiency, clearly, and I think to the extent that we've talked about both a couple of times here, at least, the engagement, right? So now we're making the meeting that much more accessible.
Great point.
So while we've had not so much this town council type meetings during the day, but at some point in time, why not, right?
Yeah.
If other meetings can be held during the day and then people work their schedules around it, then you don't have to physically be someplace, some room at 7 p.m., right? You can participate in some other way, in some other time period.
I
know from a personal perspective, especially when I was working, I could at least participate in a town council meeting and swivel seat and go to work, or vice versa, because it's, you know, you can switch from one to the other in seconds, where, you know, traveling somewhere
between,
that's 10, 15, 40 minutes, whatever.
You know, there's no drive in between.
Yep.
You know, you might be able to, you know, not waste 2 or 3 minutes walking all the way on the other side of the building to get some water or use the restroom or get lunch or something. Right. And so I expect this discussion actually to be, you know, a constantly evolving national, local, personal, business by business, family by family discussion probably for a long time until we get into another rhythm economically where, you know, this flexibility is kind of built into the system and built into our daily lives.
I think as we've seen, it's not a one size fit all. It doesn't work for all meetings, but it can work well for some, and thereby let's do that. And then, you know, save the other in-person's time for those sessions where it really makes more sense to do so.
But there's definitely a lot of new ways that we can communicate and create some engagement. I'm sure there's a lot of people who have maybe only tuned in lately because they've had the at-home option that has worked for their schedule or for whatever reason, or you know, maybe we're just
child care, family home. Care.
Exactly. So in the future, as we, you know, kind of develop and change, I wouldn't be shocked to see a more hybrid model on many levels.
Yes, indeed. So switching then, Chloe, we did reference the two nights on the Franklin High School football field. We had the one live session that's out there. While I've recapped my notes, what would you summarize as a couple of the key takeaways from the meeting for the listeners?
I think number one, I mean, to have two town council meetings on a football field and to be socially distant like that and to have it, you know, the staff, the job that the staff did and Franklin TV and, you know, I think it's just a huge feat in and of itself. This is all new. Yep. It's uncharted territory as I think Chairman Mercer had kind of said at the beginning, you know, towns are doing all these things. I noticed Foxborough approved their budget last night and they did it in an auditorium and they found a way to do it. And, but I would say number two, after the kind of unique historic nature of it, I think the number one thing I would say over the last week and you know, the budget hearings was that's important is the level of new citizens and residents who seem to be you know, becoming involved in their community. You know, we know there are going to be disagreements. We know there are going to be agreements. We know there's going to be sides. We know there's going to be education here. But to see, you know, not just the meeting, but, you know, the emails, the phone calls, you know, it's not just limited really, Steve, I don't think to just those two nights, like technically those 6 hours, but really, obviously the big shoe to drop was the school district notification. But what I found really interesting, and a couple of speakers spoke on this during the hearing, one of which I talked to in what she described as a very lively conversation, which it was, and I expect many more with her, which is great, is the level of enthusiasm in a very short amount of time where a lot of residents went, whoa, we've never even really known what's going on or we've never had a reason or there's never been an expectation of us to know our community. And we've got it a lot better than we thought we might have. And I think that came out in a lot of the emails and conversations I know the counselors had. I think Counselor Kelly both spoke to this last night. You know, really, I think that, you know, there was a lot of emotion, obviously, for many people in town at once. But it really, I think that's one of the reasons why the there wasn't as many people there at the two meetings. And a lot of the emails I was receiving was really about saying what amazing things our fire department's doing, for example. And we had no idea. And then someone told me a story. They drove by the fire station and they peeked, you know, around it. And they never thought about it before, really, what they had, you know. And I think that, you know, that's just a small example, but I think it speaks to another person actually made a comment to me about the senior center budget saying, is that $250,000 in there? Or, you know, and I said, yeah. And they just went, what do you buy for that? You know, and I said, it's a complicated mathematical formula with the friends, all these other things. But, you know, just that level of engagement to me of a lot of people that have hopefully will become continually part of everything we do in the process is a challenge that I called people to in my budget executive summary. And I think over the last week, that's the big takeaway for me.
Indeed, yeah, because certainly from my own history, that's how I got started once upon a time, really? 14 plus years ago. It was kind of a slap upside the head. It's like, what's going on? Let me find out. And 14 years later, I'm certainly more educated in spreading the word. But yeah, the people do need to pay attention. The devil's in the details. And we do get a fantastic bang for the buck, so to speak.
Absolutely.
The school, the senior center in particular, if I recall, the total operating is probably twice what we budget because the other side of that is made up with grants and donations.
Yeah.
Right. So we only fund maybe the one out of the $2 that they actually operate on. And that in itself speaks to the operation of the town and the community engagement to that extent as well.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, we all know that, you know, every decade there's a new, you know, mini generation, if you will. I mean, I'm not a, you know, sociologist, so I don't know the right term, but you have a new level of engagement from people, and clearly the 08 to 2020, you know, slow economic build that happened, brought in a lot of new families into Franklin. I think the facilities and demographics analyses conducted by the school show, if you look at the population of the town, people feel right now that we're bursting at the seams and we're growing at this exponential rate, but the actual fact is that we're not,
right?
And we're anything but. And if you're new, that's a different feeling and perception than if you've lived in town most of your life, you know, or at least for generations that remember the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, when the town of Franklin was easily one of the fastest growing towns in all of New England, country, certainly the state of Massachusetts. And so, you know, I think that there's a new level of engagement that comes with that, a new perspective, new priorities, new ideas. And I think it's just the beginning. I think we talked about this beginning of the budget. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, this budget in particular and this year is really a beginning right now. And
right.
I think that I'm just really glad.
Spring,
I mean,
spring
it's been
training,
some long conversations. Some of them have been at night. That's my job, you know, when people are available. But a lot of the conversations I've had with a lot of residents, and I know this for the council too. Everybody's just been really, you know, it's been great to see how many other people have stepped up to the plate. It's not just the music program or the parents with the choral group students. It's really much further than that, and it's good to see. And hopefully it'll be a long, hot, sweaty summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure of continued debates, and that's the way it's going to be. This is a good thing overall, and it's a necessary thing. It's a healthy thing, and you know the outdoorsman in me. You know, I always remember going to Yellowstone Park decades ago, and being saddened by all the burnt trees everywhere, right after
right.
the wild forest fire in the 80s. And I remember the park ranger on one of the tours basically looked at me and said, "You don't understand. That's the greatest thing that could happen to this ecosystem, because
sure.
because that's an opportunity for you to build back up and
regrowth
and regrowth." And I think that there's going to be a lot of new people involved over the coming year, and the town of Franklin, you know, really needs that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So to your point, in terms of the phase of the budget, the spring training, first pass, however we phrase it, the town council does have a meeting next week, I believe, to kind of clear up some other technical items, if you will, but then doesn't meet again until the third week of July.
That's correct. We're doing another meeting next week on the 24th at 7 to go through a series of other votes that, you know, are if you look back at past agendas, they're usually there. It's reauthorization of revolving funds, and we're creating a new revolving fund to take the $32,000 out of the operating budget to free up a little bit more space and put it into a new revolving fund for tax title projects, which mm-hmm. is actually a self-sustaining account once you get going. The MEC Regional Dispatch Stabilization Account.
Right.
The one issue that probably will be debated is the water rates. And there certainly will be the town clerk's salary has to get voted on because she's an elected official by statute.
Right.
There's the temporary licenses granting, the formal resolution. So it's really kind of an end of fiscal year cleanup. There's a few minor transfers that do have to happen in the FY20 budget.
Right.
You know, equaling maybe $50,000 or $70,000. So there's a lot of odds and ends. There's a lot of housekeeping items that need to be taken care of to clean out the fiscal year and to set ourselves up for the beginning of next fiscal year. And so it should be a short Zoom call. I don't expect it more to be a half hour, 45 minutes. It'll take probably about a dozen votes or so on some various items that are not really all that exciting. I would say that the one other item I would say from the takeaway from last night, we'd be remiss if we didn't say it, is the Community Preservation Act will obviously now be on the ballot in November at a 2% surcharge. The council, I believe it was a unanimous vote last night to put that on the November election. So yep, that's something that will come up there. And if I'm a listener, they reported last night at a 2% surcharge on a median housing value in Franklin, which is about $460,000. That's about $104 a year that you'll see that will be dedicated to open space, historic preservation, and affordable housing and ball fields. And, you know, for those that are really a big open space advocates, the major tool with the CPA is that you can borrow against it in case any emergency land purchases are required and you don't have the money. So I'm sure that's something the community will ask more questions on as we go forward over the summer and into the fall. And you know, I think as you being a Wiley veteran here, Steve, watching these meetings often, you know, they've been discussing this for months now. So felt like, I think at the end of the day, even these difficult times, I think they really felt like that was something that they all had really wanted to do for a long, long time and to just give it a shot.
Not quite as long as you, who in one of the meetings, I think it was in March, came up with the introduction that you actually had brought it to Franklin back in 2001.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And that was like Jeff Nutting's, I think he was intro. Only a couple months on the job.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how it all comes around like that sometimes.
Amazing.
And that was also, I think, Bob Valley's first evening as chairman, because earlier in that night they had
just reorganized.
They had reorganized right after the election.
Right.
The 23-year-old whippersnapper that I was had no clue.
Yep. So smart. So smart. Yep. It's great foresight. Great foresight. All right. And speaking of foresight, spotlight related. Now you've got the spotlight on technology, and certainly as highlighted in the budget hearings and the production we were able to pull off, there were some, you know, other opportunities that we'll get to eventually, but technology, certainly, especially in the coronavirus, COVID age, pandemic age, technology has played a big role in making sure that the town continues to function. So
a huge role. I mean, obviously technology has always been a huge role. It touches every department, you know, schools, the municipal building, DPW, fire, police, everywhere. Tim Raposa, who's the director of technology, and then all the tech staff, they are phenomenal. They are always there to help. They've got a great rapport with everyone that they work with. I can't even tell you how many times I've called Greg and he's, you know, had come up to my office to fix something and it was just ready to go.
Yep.
So obviously they manage an enormous amount of, you know, people think technology and they think computers or devices, and it's so much more than that. It's the security from cyber attacks. It's the overall network. It's really a humongous, it's one of those invisible things, you know, we can't see it, but they're managing it. All the software that we use, whether it's, you know, something that is local or it's a, you know, a SaaS product. But then when COVID hit, the need for technology, you know, we always need it, but it just went through the roof. And this team really just stepped up in every imaginable way. They moved the entire town staff to remote work,
right,
and the entire school department, every child to remote learning in 2 weeks. It's just a enormous task that they underwent, and, you know, sending everyone from a five-year-old kindergartner home, you know, to learn from home, all the way up to a senior. And they did it in such a an incredibly quick turnaround time to make sure everybody could get done what they needed to do. But it, again, it doesn't even stop there. They have gone above and beyond with, you know, helping senior center folks who, you know, people are now home, and they were, you know, isolated in many ways and relying on technology in a way that they hadn't before. And the tech team has been helping people with their home networks, which is something they had never done before, and right. supporting, you know, personal devices, not just devices that the town owns. So, and again, they're super happy to do it. They've been helping throughout, I mean, the whole entire closure. You know, the device breaks, you're at home, you have to swap it out, they'll troubleshoot. Basically, you know, the everything we've gone through in the past 3 months, you know, has required technology. And they've really just stepped up in many ways. I keep repeating it, but that's just such a great way of describing what they were able to do in order to keep everything running. Yeah, and then obviously...
No, go ahead. No, I was just going to, I thought you were kind of closing. I was going to give you another opportunity, but you can continue.
So I was just saying now, and now we're in, you know, we've hit summer. So obviously school ended a couple days ago for the 2020 school year. And we're moving in, you know, into the summertime, which is different, obviously, for the students. But they're still, the preparations are already underway. If anyone has been tuning into the meetings over the past couple nights, there's obviously Chromebooks that are purchased. There's a lot to prepare for, but there's still so many questions. You know, no one knows what it's going to look like in the fall. But there has to be preparations made for what might be coming. And obviously, whatever does come our way, the tech is going to be a huge part of it. So, if anyone is interested in learning more about them, there's obviously the spotlight's out there. It's on our website. There's a whole little, there's a tab that has all of the spotlights on our homepage right under the connect button. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our website has so much information, but for, you know, to Jamie's point, there's a lot of people right now who are maybe paying attention in a way they haven't before. Right. And if you want to have an opportunity to learn a little bit more about the departments without having to dig through the website and make sense of so much information, which is there, this is a great way to familiarize yourself. You know, learn a little bit about the technology department and what they do. Learn a little bit about the building inspector's department. Learn a little bit about the clerk's department. And it's a great way to introduce yourself to some of our town functions and how everything works. So I'm really hoping that this is helpful for residents, for especially, you know, new residents who might really want to get to know their town, but anyone who wants to really get to know the municipal departments and see what's going on. So if you find them on social media or on our website, I hope that they're helpful.
Yeah, because I think I was going to tease up, what is it that we do that doesn't touch technology, or technology is not used in some way? And I think
2020, everything touches technology.
You would be hard pressed to come up with something that fits into that category, right?
It would be virtually impossible. I could sit here and, you know, silently think about it for a little bit, but I think it would be a struggle to come up with something.
You know, funny enough that you guys just asked this question. It last night's meeting was as close as you're going to get. You were dealing with like in-person hard copy budgets, no Wi-Fi, obviously the radio and the technology was there, you know, but Tim, you know, that really last night had nothing to do with Tim's department. It was a very rare thing that had very little to do with the actual technology.
And department. Yet it also teases up to Tim's department, because right. one of the opportunities is to extend the internet, which is in the high school, out to the press box. So that's for future, we could be more enabled.
And I think that was part of the borrowing resolution last night. I mean, this was part of the issue with technology.
Right.
Which is each year we've been triaging these little improvements that we've had Correct. To do. Like this year we had to do the virtual server replacements. The warranties were out.
Right.
They were already getting worn out. We needed to buy them. They were $200,000. And we've never been able to get to a point of saying, okay, Tim, what's the real infrastructure, fiber, switches, gadgets? I sure as heck can't answer all this. What's the amount that we need for the next few years? And obviously that's why we put one of those items forward for consideration. You know, if we need the money, because we don't know how free cash is going to be, obviously, in the fall. But There really isn't anything that Tim's department doesn't involve with in terms of our government. It's becoming even more and more important. I would just say one more thing. You know, we talk about first responders, and we talk about heroes and bravery, and for all the right reasons, for obvious reasons, right? When you need somebody, you know, our paramedics, we only hire licensed paramedics. They're all elite at what they do. They're there for the big stuff, right? But make no mistake that, you know, during this crisis, when Tim's team turned around, you know, these are folks that don't necessarily, are in contact with this kind of stuff on a day-to-day basis. One of the things I was talking to somebody about was paramedics, you know what they're doing when it comes to, you don't need to prove to them, or they're educated on infectious disease, right? Right. Laurie Roy, Billy Blanchard, the certified infectious disease specialist, right?
Yep.
So to them, you know, there's a protocol, you do it, you know how to deal with it, you're educated on it, you know it's serious.
Yep.
There's no opinion, really. But on this, you know, different people in the staff have different opinions, different comfort zones, different this and that. And I think they're really the staff bravery to jump in right away, interacting with the staff. I don't know where Jamie lives. I don't know who lives with him. You know, he's coming in to get a laptop. You know, Greg's got to work on the computer. He's got to come in the building. You know, why is everybody else going home? You know, I think that those are big things that, you know, I hope, you know, the folks out there listening don't, you know, realize that is that the staff really, for a lot of folks that normally aren't in front of these types of situations, you know, didn't hesitate to do that. We had several calls with his entire staff to assure him with the appropriate folks to about how to protect yourself, what the real fear is here, mm-hmm. What we're doing as an organization to keep you safe while you're out there trying to get everybody working remotely, learning remotely, parents remotely, Chromebook distribution. I mean, it's just, there's so much there. And I just think that the staff really, you know, showed their mettle and their spirit and team player is being able to get the job done and do the best they could under these circumstances.
Yeah. No, and I, from a fiscal management perspective, certainly the town has gotten kudos from the auditor, from my own experience watching for the number of years I have, and to the extent that you're now getting into this planning process for technology was, to your point, the next step. You needed to get to that. And yeah. To the extent that we've talked, technology is so critical to everything we do. It was a logical next step. We truly have to be prepared because, you know, the network is our communications and the remote control capabilities from security through whatever, you know, it touches everything. So planning more for it. Absolutely. I'm all for that.
And even included in that, I think Anne-Marie, maybe on a call with you a while ago, it was amazing. It dawned on us finally that, wait a minute, we were really well prepared for this.
Mm-hmm. You know, yes, it could have been a lot worse,
right? Mm-hmm. In terms of mm-hmm. revenue, where we had Gus Brown making $30,000 to $50,000 a month still in permitting fees because of Viewpoint. Sure. I mean, you know, $50,000 a month in online permits is a job, right? And yes. That, at the end of the day, I mean, it's, you know, a part time job or a full time mm-hmm. job and so, you know, to keep that going, you know, I think myself, a lot of us, I mean, at some point I realized, oh, I can do all this. I can do almost everything remotely. You know,
right. Right. That may be
a lot of ways we were ready to go.
Yeah. You know? Maybe a topic of a new, you know, either feature or spotlight or, you know, this is what you can do. And oh, by the way, you are using technology to do it.
Yeah.
I know I've spoken about this pretty much on every spotlight that I've shared.
Yeah.
I learn something every time, and technology is one of those things that, you know, you use it every day, and in many ways you take it for granted. You just expect it to work. You expect it to turn on. You expect right, it yeah. to do. And until it doesn't, totally. You know, that's why I said it's so invisible. Totally. And the work that mm-hmm. they do to keep everything going for all the departments, for all the schools, for all the kids at their homes. I mean, it was just, it was something. And yeah. they did it. They said happily and really helped to assist our town on so many levels to keep everything moving.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So at least the major pieces, so-called, you've got some budget cleanup technicalities to do, but then we at least have the weekend we can enjoy. And now that there's outdoor dining, outdoor seating, we may not yet get into concerts, but I know that concerts are actually getting, I saw Black Box getting a concert, I think, on the 4th of July weekend outdoor. So some of those things are starting to come along. Common concerts on the Commons going to be outdoor in July, and kind of gives us our segue into our cultural segment as well.
That's a good point, Steve. I mean, I think that, I was really happy Ryan mentioned that last night at the budget hearing. We've been toying with it back and forth, and obviously it's an evolving situation. Like the concert, I think that you referenced at the Black Box, actually, if we hit phase three on the 29th, very small or moderate sized venues, really community centers like the Amazing Arts Center in Framingham,
right?
You know, the Black Box, maybe even some other smaller venues like the Orpheum in Foxborough or whatnot, Showcase Live might, they'll certainly have parameters in place, but they're able to move forward. Obviously, that's a great thing for locals who really consume a tremendous amount of local entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge obviously will be the bigger stuff, which Franklin doesn't have, but the Centrum and the Orpheum Theater in Boston and the Wang Center and all that stuff, right? Great Woods and the amphitheater and everything. But
Kenny Chesney, I think, re-announced for another date in August at Gillette, I think.
So they're trying to still keep some of them on the books, yeah.
I got my tickets for the following year. They rescheduled them for the 2021.
Yeah, okay.
They moved them a full year.
Yeah.
There's still
Foxborough. It's a huge stadium. That's a huge stadium. So
yeah, I mean, they could probably do certain things there. I mean, it just depends. I mean, I think that if you don't have football, how can you do that, or what does that look like? I think
right.
I see phase four more as like vaccine territory.
Agreed.
It's more really regionally, do we have this under control as a region, as a society, right? I mean, we all know that this is going to turn into eventually just like the common cold, flu, strep throat,
the annual flu season.
You're out and around and you get a germ, and that's the way it works, right? Eventually, this will just become another one of those. And I think we have to get there, even if there's not a remedy or vaccine. But if it feels like it's eradicated in a large capacity, I think maybe they'll start doing that. And then, maybe you'll have these little tiny mini outbreaks if there's still a virus out there. But it's good to hear Ryan say that. And it's good to see some of the local venues at least, try something and prepare for something. Obviously, phase three. Those items won't occur, right? But hopefully by the middle till end of July, we can, really start, hopefully feeling better about going out a little bit more. Anne-Marie and I know, for example, we spoke of last week.
Yes.
And we now both feel comfortable, at least
outdoor
where we
dining.
Went, and I think feel comfortable going out, right, Anne-Marie?
Absolutely.
Where we did try the new distillery last week. It was something, honestly, I think the town should be very proud of. We changed the bylaws on this issue a few years ago. I was really annoying about it because, our generation likes this stuff. And I felt like there could be a real opportunity in Franklin. The market analysis study will show that people are looking for these things when we present that hopefully to the council in July and August.
Yep.
But I would have never anticipated when we did that legislation that Patrick and his team would have put that in there as a distillery. I mean, I think that was, I think Anne-Marie and I both agree that after going there and sampling some of the goods, food included, they should have they appear to have a very bright future. Wouldn't you agree, Anne-Marie?
I absolutely agree. The facility is amazing. We waited a little bit because obviously, there's all the restrictions
schedule,
of moving everybody around and everything. And the owners were nice enough to, and they came around to every table and were filling us in on their distillery and the work that they put in and spirits and just how they had done some simple yet beautiful renovations to the building. And it was a great experience. It felt so nice to go out and I'm so happy for them. I'm so happy they're in Franklin and, it just felt so good. And I'm really excited to see what happens there as we move into their indoor dining and as they're able to expand.
Agreed. Yep.
It'll be a near tourist destination.
Yep. And I know completing the brewery, winery, distillery mix, La Cantina, I know, opened last weekend. I saw pictures of them outdoor.
Incredible
67
pictures.
Degrees is opening today for outdoor brewing. Unfortunately, they've got a glitch in their supply for cans, so you can't do takeout. But you can at least go there and have a brew outside. I mean, nothing wrong with that, especially with this weather.
Just to throw that out there, I'm glad you brought that up, Steve. I saw those pictures of La Cantina. The yard there looked amazing.
Yep.
I've heard great reviews of Olivier's beer, and I haven't had a chance to go down because of the canning issue, but I certainly will at some point. And buy some of my my beer friends some local samples. But 3 years ago we did that legislation where I know you were
I was there.
I think three years from now, that these three businesses, diverse as they can be, with three great business owners, are in Franklin is a huge economic development success. And I think that even though the economy has set them back, from what I know of them, it feels like they're going to also almost hopefully be in a position to grow with the new economy forward,
right?
And be huge assets in the culinary world here in town. And I just hope people get out and feel. I will, for one, say my wife and I obviously were like, it was new going back out. We went in the door. Everybody was wearing their masks there. They had sanitizer everywhere. The bathrooms were really clean. Everything was really spotless clean. The waiters were all wearing the right garb.
There were ways to walk, certain ways to go in and to come out.
It was very, very safe. Mm-hmm. As long as you do what you need to do, it was very, very safe. It was a good experience.
Yeah, it was good. I know my cousin is working there as a waitress. I'll have to get there myself sometime, but we had been at a family gathering back in February and she was about to open and I said, we're going to be there. And then obviously it closed because of the pandemic. So I'm glad to hear that they are finally open, because certainly from the employment front as a family member. Yeah. I definitely want to make sure she does well as well. So yeah, two connections for Franklin.
So some little Franklin stuff. I think those are good stories too, as people hear on the news, awful news about the economy and the numbers and all that. Hopefully those are a few stories.
Some bright spots.
Some bright spots. And, not to belabor the point, but as each week, if you can't go out, you can always stay home and check some stuff out. Steve, I know you're a fan of NPR, and in honor of NPR, with some of the difficulties BUR and other folks are going to have this week. You're probably a fan of the Tiny Desk concerts. Bob Boylan from NPR does the Tiny Desk concerts, and they have a unique partnership because they're out of Washington, D.C., and they have a unique partnership with a venue down there called the 930 Club. I've actually been to it before. It is all that people talk about it in Washington, D.C. It's an amazing club down there. It's incredibly famous, and NPR, out of nowhere, through the Tiny Desk concert series, decided to release 100 concerts in full for streaming that date back 20 years.
Wow.
We wouldn't have gotten that with COVID, right? Because it was trademark rights and all this stuff, right? But no matter what kind of music your listeners enjoy, there is something there for everybody, from pretty much jazz, country, lots of rock and roll, Americana, you name it, there's people on it. A lot of the concerts that are on that list actually are bigger bands that you would know now that were playing there when it was 5 or 6.
Yeah, before their big day.
So, things like the Black Keys and bands like that were at their beginning. So it was really cool to see that just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I've been diving into some of those to listen to some old sets where maybe I saw that band and that show back up here in Boston when they were up here at the Avalon or Access or something like that. But for folks out there that are big fans of a whole variety of music tastes, you'd have to scroll through it and pick a couple because there's just too much there to chime into. So, people should check out the the 100 best streams from the 9:30 Club in the, on NPR. It's actually on NPR's site.
On the NPR.org site. Yeah. Yep.
It's
I'll include the link in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that, Steve. I appreciate that. That's great. So,
yeah.
So hopefully that'll keep the people busy until they feel comfortable going out to the local restaurants in Franklin and maybe checking out the concerts on the Common or the shows at the Box or any of the other arts events that are going on locally. And you know, hopefully soon, the next few times we talk, we'll keep on talking good news.
Yeah, as long as we all continue to social distancing, mask, hand washing, and all that other good stuff, because we can't take the foot off the pedal.
Nope.
Well, thank you for your time today. Anne-Marie, did you have anything else to add before we close off? Or
no, I just wanted to say, you know, obviously it's Father's Day weekend, so I'm going to wish all the dads out there a happy Father's Day. It's beautiful weather. I hope people get a chance to celebrate with their families. And, you know, we're planning a beach day with my husband. That's what he wanted to do. So we'll see how that goes. But just wanted to wish a happy Father's Day to all the dads.
Thank you. Absolutely. That's appropriate.
Definitely. Very appropriate. Great ending.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.